It is the largest exodus from a single conflict in a generation. The number of Syrian refugees has now exceeded 4 million, the majority of whom are in neighbouring countries. Turkey has 1.8 million, Lebanon 1.7 million, and Jordan more than 600,000. In the first half of this year, Syrians made up about a third of 137,000 migrants who crossed the Mediterranean, wanting security and shelter in Europe. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Antonio Guterres, has today told the BBC that Europe has to fully assume its responsibilities.
What I think is important is for every European country to understand that this is not a situation where any country can stay away. This is a collective responsibility.
And he also said current funds were running out.
The humanitarian community is already completely lacking the funds necessary to provide the very minimum of protection and support to these refugee communities. So we are already running out of funds. We are already doing much less than what it would be necessary.
That's the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Antonio Guterres. I've been speaking to Alexander Betts, Associate Professor in Refugee and Forced Migration Studies at the University of Oxford, about Europe's approach to the Syrian refugee crisis.
I think there are two ways in which Europe is attempting to assist. Firstly, by giving money to support the crisis in the region, both to address internal displacement in Syria, but also to support host countries that neighbour Syria. The second way is by actually resettling and relocating people. On the financial assistance side, a lot of countries like the UK are contributing a lot. The UK has contributed over £500 million towards relief in and around Syria. But where it's failing is in the second area in terms of resettlement. The UK has resettled less than 200 Syrian refugees. Across Europe more broadly, we see a much greater commitment to resettlement by countries like Germany, which has resettled 30,000, Sweden, which has resettled 7,400. So I think while we are assisting financially, it's simply not enough.
The financial commitment from the United Kingdom, as you mentioned, was more than £500 million. But what specifically is that being spent on?
It's being spent on two sets of areas. It's supporting sort of immediate emergency relief assistance, food, non-food items for internally displaced people in Syria. And it's also being used to support basic service provision to refugees in countries like Lebanon, Jordan and Turkey.
The International Development Secretary, Justine Greening, has issued a statement to us saying that the UK is leading the way with the biggest ever response to a humanitarian crisis. But given what Antonio Guterres is saying, that Europe needs to fully assume its responsibilities, is this a really difficult political issue for the United Kingdom then, because it's seen in the context of the whole issue of immigration and migrants coming into the country?
I think it is. I mean, we've seen people trying to cross to the UK from Syria. We've seen the crisis in the Mediterranean. I think what's really important is that the Home Secretary and members of the British government recognise that these immigration issues need to be situated in a broader global context. And people coming across from Calais and across the Mediterranean are coming from refugee-producing countries like Syria.
Beyond the immediate neighbouring countries, Jordan, Turkey and Lebanon, which you've already mentioned, what about Gulf states and their investment, if you like, in what's happening in the conflict in Syria? What are they doing?
Gulf states are playing a rather ambiguous role in the crisis at the moment. Like many countries, they're prepared to put money and investment into the humanitarian relief. Kuwait has hosted many of the international pledging conferences, and at the most recent in March, it was the third biggest financial contributor to humanitarian aid after the European Union and the US. But what's slightly contradictory about the role of the Gulf states is they're not prepared to resettle any Syrian refugees onto their territory. Now, I suppose the question is why that might be the case. I think it's in part because they, as relatively small countries with delicate demographic balances, don't want vulnerable populations on their territory. And that's symbolically problematic. It's showing that while they're prepared to write checks and provide humanitarian assistance, they're not prepared to show regional solidarity in the way that their neighbours would like.
How optimistic, though, are you that Europe would be prepared to fulfil what you've just outlined?
It requires moral courage and political leadership. And at the moment, we lack that in areas to do with migration and asylum. I think it needs politicians to step up to the plate and be prepared to articulate that this is an exceptional situation, and that historically there have been cases where European leaders have demonstrated commitment and courage. After the Second World War, we showed that we were prepared to protect people fleeing from the Holocaust and its aftermath. Equally and more recently, we saw the Bosnian refugee crisis in the 1990s. Hundreds of thousands of Bosnians were resettled across Europe and received refugee status. In the Kosovo crisis, we had a relocation scheme that enabled people in Macedonia to be relocated across Europe in an equitable way. So while I'm not necessarily immediately optimistic, I think there's reason that politicians should begin to show the leadership and moral courage that they should.
Clearly, there are precedents, historical precedents that you've laid out. Why do you think that politicians are not responding in the way that they have historically?
Yeah, it's a very interesting situation. I mean, I think in part there's a challenge, which is that some 4/5 of the world's refugees are Muslims. And I think under the current security climate, many Western governments are reluctant to admit large numbers of Muslims to their territory. That's not a palatable thing for politicians to admit, but I think it shapes a lot of the politics behind the scenes.
That was Alexander Betts from the University of Oxford. We did ask to speak to a minister from the Department of International Development, but no one was available. As I mentioned, they sent us this statement from the Secretary of State, Justin Greening. The UK is leading the way with its biggest ever response to a humanitarian crisis, but the rest of the world must now wake up to what's happening and step up with the new funding that's so desperately needed. Despite the difficult conditions they face, the many refugees I have met on my visits to the region say they just want to remain close to their homes. Our aid is helping those people cope with their shattered lives and stay safe. That's from Justine Greening.